being here, everybody. I'm really glad to see you all here. So we're going to be starting today, as you guys know. This is our live session to initiate our Vineyard Roundtables on gender, sexuality, and the kingdom of God. And there's a reason why we've framed this all in the context of human flourishing. And we're going to talk a bit about all of that and start unpacking why that is today. But before we get anywhere, we really just need to start by getting our bearings a bit. Sort of an introduction, what we're going to be doing, where we come from, where we're going, where we're at. And in part, some of this is just going to be making sure that we're actually, all of us are equally aware of the history of what we have done so far in Vineyard Canada regarding all of these questions and how it's happened. So before we even go any further, I just want to start off with a little bit super short overview, bullet point style history of where we've been in our journey so far, okay? And really to start the story well, well, I've arbitrarily chosen in the 20th century, there's, in our culture, there's been, and within our churches, there's been growing questions about sexuality and gender in our society and in our churches. In fact, I mean, there's always been questioned, really. But we can start noticing certain shifts that are impacting us now, especially beginning in the second half of the 20th century, right? So what that has led to for us in Canada, between 2003 and 2005, the legalization of same-sex marriage. So it began first in Ontario in 2003, and then by 2005 across the whole country. And what this has done is it raised up and suddenly very pointed for us, particularly in Christian churches, the fact that we have to actually deal with and address all of these questions that have been percolating for so long, right? So that was, like I said, 2005. Now since then, of course, because that prompted us to have to start to deal with this more, we've had continued wrestling with these questions in churches and Christian leaders, including in the Vineyard. So we've had Vineyard pastors working through this and wrestling through this. And we've had our national team spent years already working through this. So there's been a lot of work going on like that. But we haven't, in Vineyard, at this point, we haven't had a major coordinated response yet at this stage, right? Now in 2013, something that sort of helped to push things to a head a bit more was the publication of Peter Fitch's book, Learning to Interpret Toward Love, which now made it, you know, not just something happening in the culture or in other churches, but something happening very much for us, right? So that was in 2013. Similarly, not too long after that, and down in the US, a pastor named Ken Wilson there, he published a book called A Letter to My Congregation, which in the US prompted an awful lot of discussion. I think technically it wasn't actually published as a book until 2014 early, but it had already been in circulation in the Vineyard USA for a while before that. Anyway, so 2013, that really gave a real impetus, okay, this is making us have to really deal with this pointedly, right? So then in June of 2014, the national team of Vineyard Canada issued a pastoral letter to help give us some guidance on how we're going to be thinking and working through these questions, and that also asked, aside from giving a lot of really helpful advice, also laid out a specific request that we not conduct same-sex marriages or have people working in ordained ministry who were in a same-sex marriage. But it was also specified that this is what we were doing for now while we waited for further process, so that this would be our holding pattern at this time. So that was basically the content of that. It's really worth finding if you haven't read it before. Reading it, it's very rich, very thoughtful. Gordy there primarily penned it, and it's just wonderful stuff. It's a really good read. Okay, so that was in June of 2014. In August, now I've put this one in italics because technically this isn't Canadian history per se, but in August of 2014, Vineyard USA put out a position paper regarding LGBTQ issues. Which, while not our history, did, of course, affect us because it's part of the international Vineyard, right? And they do just live, you know, across the border from us, right? So that has had continuing effects in the Vineyard since. Now, in late 2014, Vineyard International held a roundtable of select leaders from vineyards all across the globe to talk through and work through these issues. Initially, you know, in part, okay, the U.S. had put out this paper, and so how are we, the rest of the Vineyards, wanting to interact and respond to that, and so this was part of that process. So that happened, now, there was just a few people from across Canada who were involved with that, so it's not like it was a big public thing, so, but it did happen. After that process had finished, that was when basically we began work in 2015 on what eventually was to become these roundtables that we're launching today. So since 2015, we've been working on how are we going to run a good process that actually addresses well all of our needs here in Canada to be able to work through these things. Okay? So this is just so that we are all actually aware, at least somewhat of what's going on. I mean, there's so much more history, I can put everything in there, but okay? So that brings us to where we're at now. So when we look at our situation in Vineyard Canada today regarding questions around sexuality and gender, the first thing is that we have a diversity of views within Vineyard Canada at all levels. Within your church, there's a spectrum of views. Well, if your church is one where people talk freely about their views, you already know that. If you have one where some people feel a little more nervous to talk about their views, maybe you don't realize that there really is, but there is in your church. In this room, among pastors and ministry leaders of various sorts, there is a diversity of views here, ranging a whole gamut of different possibilities. And actually, that brings up a point I want to make right now. There's also not just two views, just so everybody knows. We can never reduce all this stuff down to an A or B. That's simply not true of the reality. There's more complexity here because there's more questions than just one question, okay? And yeah, so on every level, and between our churches, everywhere, there's all this diversity. That's just a reality, okay? The second thing is that over the years, as first the legalization of same-sex marriage and then the continuing development in our culture since then, the fact of the matter is that real life questions, not just, you know, theoretical questions, but real life questions about pastoring people of gender and sexual minorities are now commonplace in our churches. If you haven't directly encountered that yet, you won't have to wait much longer. And a lot of our churches are already working through these things, right? So it's just is a reality, it's not just theoretical. And so that's why right now, the roundtable is one part of Vineyard Canada being engaged in a very full orb process that's involving exploration and equipping, which is what the roundtables is mostly about, as well as an intentional listening process and a discernment process. And so the long-term trajectory for that, well, not so long-term, but by January is when we're hoping to, the national team will come together to discern together and to reach some kind of decisions for what we're going to do going forward. So that thing, we're aiming for that for January 2020. But we're not going to make those decisions until we've done this process, because that would be premature. We'd be getting the cart before the horse, right? And I'll just also want to be clear, we haven't made a decision. It is, in fact, still a very much an open question of what we will do. Okay? So for now, what the pastoral letter asked us to do, that's still what's going on, but it is an open question of where we may end up. Okay? So I just want to make that all clear. Yes? Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it's not just like, okay, we're just doing this one thing, just one perspective, but we're trying to hear multiple perspectives, address different needs and different perspectives and different desires and different, needs, essentially, using different tools. So we have multiple tools going on. So roundtables is only one part of all of the tools that we're using, so it's not everything. This is the part that's about the equipping and the exploration. The intentional listening process, that's going to be using a separate process that will be running parallel alongside. There should be more being announced by the foundation's team about that soon. So watch your email and, you know, actually read it. And there will be that discernment process towards the end for the national team actually coming together based on everything we've heard from multiple perspectives and through what we've worked through the roundtables process to try to figure out what we're going to do. Okay? Okay. Before I go any farther, any other questions about this? No? Clear enough for now, or at least you'll ask later? All right. Oh, one back there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There very, very shortly will be. I'll make sure that it happens. I have a personal copy on my computer that I got someone sent to me that used to be online somewhere. Anyway, I'll get it back up online because I can get stuff onto our Vineyard Canada website. So I'll make sure it gets up there so we can do that. I'll send out an email link afterwards to people who actually sign up for roundtables, okay? All right, so where we are. So now, that brings us to talking about, so what are these roundtables themselves, okay? Well, the best way to talk about what these roundtables are, well, first of all, just a simple description of what they are. They're going to be online discussion and resourcing sessions over the course of the 10 weeks, mostly online. There's this that's live, and then we'll be doing it online after this using Vineyard Canada's website, okay? That is going to be working to help us all work through this. And it's for pastors and ministry leaders of various sorts. So what do I mean by ministry leader? So if you're just, you know, a regular congregant, this isn't aimed to meet your particular needs. However, if you have any kind of ministry leadership or pastoral kind of responsibility in your church, paid or unpaid, then this is for you. So if you're an elder, this is for you and you should sign up, okay? If you're a worship leader, this is for you and you should sign up. So narrowing our scope here, is that clear enough? Yeah, okay. So, and our goals in all of this, first of all, as I said, to provide theological, spiritual, and pastoral resources to help us minister to people well, regarding gender and sexuality, okay? And moreover, in the same time, to reinforce our deep posture and culture in the vineyard of unity in diversity, that thing that we talk about as the centered set, we use that image to try to describe this, reinforcing that in the midst of all this so that we can understand different perspectives well and be able to work well together and recognizing that, yes, there is, in fact, a diversity of views, and that's just the reality, right? So flipping it negatively, what these are not going to be about is trying to reach a single uniform view, okay? That's not a goal. It's not even a reasonable goal anyway, but it's not been part of the design goal. So we're going to be talking through things, and we will have diversities of views shared and interacted with, and hopefully we'll all learn and grow. I don't necessarily think that everyone's going to suddenly reach a new conclusion, or by the end everyone's going to agree with me and my particular views, right? But we will all, many of us will experience some change and growth in our views, and some change, but we'll see what happens, right? Okay. So, and then if I were to unpack this a bit more in terms of the goals, I like to organize them in what I call knowing, being, and doing, okay? So, yeah. So just unpack that a little bit. So when I talk about knowing, this is going to help us to know and understand better. We're going to be able to enrich our theological understanding, right? Specifically what it means to be human in light of Vineyard's theology of the kingdom of God, particularly regarding gender and sexuality. We're also going to come to understand better concepts and terminology that we use to discuss gender and sexuality, and being able to distinguish between questions and issues involving sexuality versus questions and issues involving gender. And even the fact that we need to distinguish those as different sets of questions as well. We're going to understand more about how and why fellow Vineyard ministry leaders might come to different conclusions on these questions, even though starting from the same common theological basis and spiritual values that we all share. So we'll be able to understand that diversity of views better. Okay, so that's under knowing. And under being, well, we're going to grow deeper in our ability to listen to the Spirit with both heart and mind. We're going to grow stronger in loving fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ with whom we disagree. And we're going to become more comfortable dwelling with and ministering among people whose sexuality is messy. In other words, all of us, right? Okay. And then in terms of doing, this is also our goal here is to increase tool sets for discipling our congregations to love well those whose sexual orientation and gender identity don't easily fit in traditional models. Increasing our skills and tool sets for guiding people struggling to find the best way forward when there are no obviously good answers. And it's going to give us, increase our skills and tool sets for discipling people who are dealing with sexual brokenness of different kinds. And just to be clear, so we're not only talking about minorities, gender and sexuality, we're also going to be talking at least somewhat about different kinds of brokenness and larger issues regarding sexuality that we're facing in our culture today beyond just, oh, what do we do about minorities, gender and sexuality, okay? So that will be coming up somewhat as well. All right, so. And so in the process of designing all this, why is it taking like 4 years to put this together? Well, why is it taking 4 years? When I used to work in construction, there's a saying among tradespeople, fast, cheap, good. You can pick any two, right? Vineyard Canada is largely a volunteer-run organization. I'm doing most of this voluntarily. So cheap is required, so fast or good, right? We chose good. So that's why it's taken a long time. So that's been part of it. So our guiding concerns as we've been thinking, how do we do this well, right? Well, recognizing, as I've already made clear, we need a rich theological framework, the one that's grounded in God's goals for creation and humankind, all that stuff that Matt was talking about to us this morning and last night. There's a reason why we did that, because that's where we have to ground ourselves. We want to do this well. And so the whole process of roundtables has been to take what we had just had there in the beautifully concise form that he gave us and unpacking that and all of its implications for us over the course of 10 weeks, okay? But also, we need a very fulsome engagement, by which I mean not a simplistic one. So we can't just say, well, here's this one question, particularly should we conduct same-sex marriages, which I said was sort of the inciting question starting from 2003 to 2005, right? There's so many more questions. You know, say, if we make a policy, and we settle on a policy whether we conduct same-sex marriages, that tells me nothing but what to do when I have someone who was intersex, who was raised, assigned, you know, early on their parents were concerned, said, okay, you're going to be, well, you're physically ambiguous, so we'll say that you're a boy or you're a girl, and raise you that way, maybe to have surgeries, and then they grow up, and now it turned out that was probably the wrong choice, and what to do now. Having a policy on same-sex marriage will do nothing for that, right? Just as one example. I could give some more, but I don't want to waste time. You get the point already. So we need a fulsome one that engages lots of different questions, okay? And, yeah. And finally, we need to explore and learn together, right? This cannot be individual, and we cannot just go each off in our own different direction with our own different viewpoints and just not care. No, we need to learn and explore together. Why? Well, because none of us can get it all on our own. We need that diversity of viewpoints. So the fact that actually that we have a diversity isn't a problem, or not just a problem, it's much more, it's a gift, okay? So to hear different perspectives is something we're going to need. It will help us all to grow, okay? And we're also going to be starting, as I said, from our common ground and moving forward into richer understanding. And that needs to be our process. I very strongly believe that what we have to do if we're going to do this well as a collected body of people who are part of the body of Christ, right? So this is the guiding concerns that have been shaping this and everything we're going to do. So just before I move on, any questions in that regard? Okay. So now just a quick overview of what we're going to be talking about for 10 weeks, okay? So the way we're doing this is first, we have this week, which is kind of our introduction, doing what I'm doing right now, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the very basic foundational stuff of that starting common ground that we have in the Vineyard, okay? Then after that, we will move forward in our first online session starting October 15th. We'll be digging deeper into our theology of the kingdom of God, and in particular into areas where in the Vineyard we haven't always talked about as much. Last night, David Neal made reference to that we talk about the kingdom, but a lot of times it's mostly give us our theology of healing and why sometimes we see people healed and sometimes we don't, right? And that's the number one thing we've done with it in Vineyard, to be honest, right? We expand it more. But there's aspects that we have never dug into very much. So we'll be digging into some of that more, okay? Then after that, we'll be moving into thinking a bit more, in light of all of that, about how we do our theological discernment and our interpretation and our methods that we use to try to work through these kinds of difficult questions, okay? Then we're going to start talking about, more broadly before we get to sexuality, our understanding of what it is to be human. And so we're going to talk about that for a while. So just what we call in theological circles our theological anthropology. In other words, what does it mean to make, why did God make us? What does it mean to be human, right? So we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to dig in even more into our theology of the body, which for many of us has been pretty thin. We're evangelicals. Evangelicals have tended to have a very thin theology of the body. And we're part of that larger group. So we need to actually dig into this more if we're going to have the resources to engage gender and sexuality well. So we're going to dig into that a bit. And we're going to talk about unity and diversity in humanity. We're going to talk about identity and belonging and how all of that plays into who and what we are. Okay? So, and then with all of that foundation, you know, that's already halfway through, right? We are getting somewhere, though. It's not... So then in week 6, that's when we start bringing this now specifically into talking about gender and sexuality in theological perspective. And we're going to be looking at multiple aspects of our theological perspective on that. And then with the tools we get from that, then we start digging into those tough questions. So first, that week there, there's many different questions about gender identity and expression that we need to work through. And those, I put it first, actually, because those are the ones that in our discussions have often been neglected. We think, oh, well, we've talked about same-sex marriages, and so therefore we've also talked about transgender, No, those are very different things. So we tend to, but we tend to neglect the gender aspect because we're so focused on the same-sex aspect. So I'm actually going to do it first. Then after that, we will then move on to working through tough questions about sexual orientation and activity. Okay? So there'll be all kinds of things going on in there. Now, I am a theologian. I'm not a pastor. I've done, you know, pastoral type work, but I'm primarily a theologian. So the truth of the matter is, when I talk about things, my first mode is theology, right? But that's not what we need. I don't just need to give you a bunch of good ideas, right? So along the way, this is all going to have significant pastoral implications, and we'll talk about that along the way, but we need to have a significant session where we're just digging into concrete pastoral concerns, as that is the main focus. So there's a whole week that's going to be devoted to that. That's where we talk about not just gender and sexual minorities, but also all the other kinds of issues that we're facing in our culture, all sorts of sexual dysfunction. We're going to be talking about, how do we face the fact that our culture mostly just thinks, fornication, adultery, well, adultery maybe, but fornication, whatever, that's fine. And, you know, how do we interact well with issues around sex trafficking and prostitution? How do we deal with sexual abuse? How do we, in our churches, when that happens, because it does, right? How do we deal? So we're going to be talking about those things as well, not just minority gender and sexuality. So that's going to be all part of that. And then in our last week, this is not just sort of the wrap-up conclusion. This is the culmination. So how do we follow the way of Jesus in regard to all of this? How do we walk in the way of love, in the way of compassion, of hospitality and hope? How do we make it so sure that regardless of whatever our views are, whatever Vineyard Canada may or may not decide in the future, how do we make sure that our churches really are places where everyone can follow Jesus well, and that we can do that well, and be welcome so people can encounter God there rather than being pushed away or feeling pushed away, even if we didn't mean to, right? So how do we do that? So that'll be our final week there. Before I move on, does anybody have any questions right now? Yes.
So I think in pastoral concerns and resources, is that the space you're also going to be talking about being fornication, like pornography?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How prevalent that is
now? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be in there as well. Yeah. Issues like that. Yeah. Well, and we'll make mention of them before that as well, but in our discussions, but that'll be a special focus or part of the focus on in that session that week, okay? Okay. So what is this actually going to look like practically? Okay, so this is our 10-week structure here. Well, what is that going to look like? Well, here's the weekly process for everything from 2 through 10. Of course, right now we're meeting live, so it's a different thing. We're doing it in this room, right? So our weekly process will look like this. Every Monday morning, there will be a new set of resources released. This will be a video teaching session, so we've been recording all these videos. We're almost done. And along with them, there'll be reflection questions, as well as there will also be, you know, further reading materials and resources for those who want to go even further and read more and dig in more, right? So that'll be released every Monday. Then by Wednesday, so there'll be two people selected in each group. Oh, I forgot to mention this. So the roundtable groups themselves, everybody who signs up will be putting you into small groups, 8 to 10, maybe 12 at the most. You know, we'll see exactly how it plays out, but roughly a group around that size. And so, yeah. So every week, two people out of the group will be tasked to be intentional so that by Wednesday they've worked through the materials that are provided and thought about the reflection questions and given a more in-depth response that they'll share with the rest of the group. Okay? So they'll share that by Wednesday. That's sort of part of your obligation that you take on as participating in this process, is that when it's your week, you'll do that, right? And then, for the rest of the week, we will have a guided discussion that will be facilitated by someone who's designated for that job, okay? So, for example, Jamie has volunteered to help out with that, among others, okay? Yeah, okay, so right now, our list right now, so there's Jamie. Of course, I'll be doing stuff. Joyce Reese will be participating, helping with that. Matt Downey will, and Scott Rowe in Ontario. Okay, so those are the four that we've asked to help us facilitate this. Yes?
Yep. So people can hear that mm-hmm. with questions. The group dialogue, is that like in a Facebook group? Is that in a, what, where is
yeah.
that?
Okay, so that's what I'll get to next, okay? So I'll answer that momentarily. And then so the last thing that we'll do in each week process, so particularly on Saturday, but moreover, all throughout the week, you should be engaging in spiritual discernment and reflection. Many people find journaling helpful for that, so if that's the way you do that, right? So that you have something that you're using to track your progress. So can you can look back and see where you were 3 weeks ago and where you are now, right? That's actually a key part of this process for learning, okay? Now, if journaling per se doesn't work for you, I actually never get anything out of journaling. It just doesn't work for me. But what does work for me, it'll be close enough for this purpose, is I'm very good at taking notes about my thoughts, so I don't journal my life. But here's what I'm thinking right now, and I work through questions. Is that journaling? Maybe it's sort of journaling, but I think of it as note-taking, and that's what I do. You know, or if you have some other process that you use to do that, but have something where you can have a record that you can look back and see for yourself what your progress has been. Because one of the things that human beings have a tendency to do is, as we grow and change, we remember our current view back onto our previous view. It's just one of the foibles of human memory. So it's good to have this so we can see how we've worked through things and grown. Yes. Sure.
There's double. Wow. Apparently, I'm going to say something important. Maybe. So I also would say that this is a good space. If there are words or pictures or things that God has been giving you, this is also a good space to write those things down. Because part of this process, it will possibly have some things bubble up in you, and I hope that the Spirit will be making things bubble up in you as part of this. And so that's another good, besides just reflecting on what you're knowing, that being piece where the Spirit's acting, like really feel like you can lean into that when you're doing this part.
Thank you, exactly. Yes, what she said. Mm-hmm. So how are we actually going to do this concretely? So that's the process I'm describing. So how it's going to work is on our website. Okay, so Vineyard Canada's website is actually fundamentally powered by a forum system. We actually, like years ago when we made the new website, we chose to do that in preparation for this. So that it's a spot where when you log in and create an account, you can interact and have discussions. And the reason we chose a forum is because we recognize that we're busy people. So while it's wonderful to be able to gather together like this, sometimes we simulate it by, you know, having a video conference. But have you ever tried to schedule a video conference with a bunch of people? Now imagine doing that every week. Is that going to work? Probably not. So we needed a way of communicating and interacting where when you've got your time to log in over the space of a couple of days, you'll log in, read and interact and write your responses and interact that way. It's less personal. It's always best to have a good, especially an intense conversation if we're in person like this, which is why we made sure we had at least the first one here live, right? But we can't do it practically across a gigantic country. So we'll have to do the best that we can. So it's going to be happening online. So the way you're going to actually do this and how to get started. So first, just go to vineyard.ca/roundtables. Okay. So when you go there, it's got, you know, an introduction and description, the overview and everything else, and a link that says register. Okay. So I'm actually just going to go there. Oh. Now, hang on a second. Do. All right, so here we go. So, that's the wrong one. Sorry, folks. Technology is fun, as Matt was saying. All right, so when you first go there, what you'll see is this, vineyard.ca/roundtables. And you'll see there's a nice little intro, and you can read all these things if you want more information. But the key thing for you right now to get started is to click on this register button, okay? And when you click register, that'll take you to, well, the registration page, not surprisingly. So down, you'll see a bit of information to make the point clear of what you need to do. So this costs $50 to actually sign up to participate. So you can hang out here, whether you've done that yet or not. To go forward, you're going to need to do that. Okay? And so what you'll do is you'll go to this page, and then the first thing you got to do is if this is your first time going to Vineyard CA, you'll need to first create an account, because you can't participate unless, you know, you have an account. Just, you know, the way it works, right? So you'll have to either, if you've already got an account, you can just log in. Otherwise, you'll need to create an account. And that's an easy, you know, if you've ever signed up for anything, you already know how creating an account works. So just do that, right? So once you've created your account, if you do it here, it'll bring you right back to this page, where instead, now you'll see this. So up the top, see, oh, okay, I'm logged in, right? And so now the text will be placed with this gigantic register button. Just click the big giant register button, okay? And it'll take you to this page where you can pay. And then the system will automatically sign you up so that you'll be able to access the stuff when it opens up, okay? So that's what you gotta do to get started. Then once that happens, then you'll just see a link saying, come back on October 15th. And so that you can actually log in. So you can just go to this page again, and instead of that, you'll just see a link that'll take you right into the actual discussion area so we can get started, okay? And then so the way we actually interact on a forum, if you haven't used one before, it's very much like Facebook. Facebook basically took a forum and made it a little more social media-y. But yeah, it's the same fundamental idea. You type something in, it's kind of like writing an email, except that instead of sending it off to whoever, it gets posted on the website for other people to read. And so we just, much like Facebook, we just reply to each other, right? Yes.
So but the only people who are reading it are...
Yes, that's right. So that's the key point here. So for each group, we'll be private unto itself. There will be a section where everyone who's enrolled will be able to access certain resources, but then sort of underneath that, each group will have its own private section for just that group. So when you log in, you will be able to see the general thing and the link to just your section. Each person will see underneath it the link to their particular section. Okay? So you won't be able to read someone else's group. So it's meant to be very private, just that group, making a very safe, secure place so that you can share with these people and know that it's not going public, right? Because we're working through difficult things. So we need that sense of security and privacy. So that'll be there. The public doesn't even know. Google can't even see that it exists, never mind index it, okay? So it's very secure that way. All right, so now let's get back to this. So like I said, so there we go. So on October 15th, when it'll actually start, and we'll start interacting that way. And then, so through the forum is where all the resources will be shared and where the dialogue and interaction will happen. Okay? That makes sense to everybody? All right. And also, so you know, the system does send out notification emails to you automatically. So if all of a sudden you start getting these weird emails from Vineyard.ca, from notifications@vineyard.ca, it'll just be telling you, oh, someone posted a new thing. So make sure those don't go to your spam so that you're actually aware of what's going on so you can then log in and interact, okay? All right. So, enough about the mechanics of it. If anyone has further questions, we can talk about that later, but I do realize time's getting on, we need to hurry up. So, yeah, oh, quick question, okay.
Will those resources be available before or on the 15th of October, just the extra reading around every topic?
Mm-hmm. They'll be released each week along the way. Some of the further reading, I can probably try to get those things up beforehand if we want to, but mostly we'll be looking at, you know, I might get them up technically Sunday night, so they're available for Monday morning, but mostly we'll be looking at that as our main release schedule. For the further reading, I could probably look into getting those
sooner. Yeah, I
think
the further reading would be helpful just because it's
that makes sense.
A lot
of
reading.
All right, I'll try to make that happen as much as I can. Okay. This will be a spot where I say, I promise you nothing because I've got so many things going on, but I will do my best, okay? All right, so as we're doing this process, what are our guidelines for doing this journey together? Well, fundamentally, our model here is that we're exploring and learning, right? That's what we're trying to do. So it means that this is a space of collaborative dialogue as opposed to, say, debating positions that we already hold, okay? So we're not gonna come into this, here's my view and here's your view and now we're gonna hash it out. That's not what this is. Okay, this is us starting from somewhere together and working through things and new questions together. We do have different views, and we're going to bring those into collaborative dialogue, which is different than a debate. It's, you know, different framework for thinking about it, right? And that's key to making this work well. If we start with a debate, even you know, we're going to have a very well-intentioned, well-behaved debate. Still, fundamentally sets us up to say, well, who's going to win? And that's not what this is about, right? We're not here to try to have a view or any particular views win. We're trying to learn together, okay? That's why sharing stories and asking questions is an enormous part of this. So yeah, we're gonna have videos, you know, I'm recording all these videos that you guys get to watch and everything else, right? But that's not the main thing. That's part of it. That's meant to prompt the discussion for sharing stories and dialoguing together to work through things. And why sharing stories and asking questions? It's our stories. When we share our stories is where we actually learn and can gain new insight into how things work in real life, right? I can give you all kinds of bullet points and theological concepts, but how does it play out? That's what stories do. And so as we share those stories and think through the implications of one another's stories, we'll be exposed to new things, right? And in this process, that's why what we're looking to do is to understand how and why we each think, feel, and believe as we do about these things. how and why. Not, I don't even care so much about what each of us think. I don't care exactly what your position is right now, because here's the thing, positions don't really exist. What do I mean by that? Your position, the way you feel about something, and the way you think, believe it, is true at this moment. But everything is always changing. Your views are changing. Sometimes we hold one view for a long time before it changes. Sometimes they evolve more quickly, but they're always evolving. So a position per se doesn't exist. It's a snapshot of where you happen to be at a particular moment in time. Not all that interesting for helping us to grow, and especially for helping one another. What is interesting is understanding what brought you to where you are right now. What are the things, the underlying concerns, the underlying beliefs, the underlying driving needs, and everything else that shapes your thinking that leads you in this direction? And what are the other things that underlie mine? And why? And how do I connect these dots? And as we understand that, suddenly it opens up whole vistas for new learning and growth. Okay? And then the final thing for our guidelines here is that we are always, in every interaction, going to start with what unites us. I'm even going to say it's going to be a bit of a discipline imposed somewhat, that every interaction we have, we should always start by saying, okay, as I'm interacting with you, let me start with what I felt united with before I move into what I don't necessarily agree with, if that's what you want to do in your post. So I'm going to do my best when I'm interacting with you guys to impose that discipline on myself, and I'm going to ask everyone to follow that discipline too. So in our individual interactions, that's be part of it. But moreover, also the overall structure of, right, starting with kingdom of God and then moving forward, that's the whole point, is to start with what we have in common and then move forward from there, right? Mm-hmm. Listening to the shepherd together. So that's sort of the guiding principles that we're going to be using for this. Now, one of the things about this, as I've been saying, is it's supposed to be interactive, right? So right now, I'm going to shut up for a little bit, and I'm going to get you guys make yourselves little groups, I don't know, say four people, just because we don't have a whole lot of time, and I want you to each, as quickly as you can, just talk through a little bit and unpack your answers to these three questions. This is as much for you as the people you're with, because of course they won't be your permanent group, but this is to help you even think right now. So what are your concerns that you're going to want to have, your questions I should say, what are your concerns and what are your hopes in all of this process? What are you hoping will happen by the time we reach the end of this? Okay? Yes, Wayne.
Yeah, John, just a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a rough estimate, like these teaching times that you're going to be doing and the dialogue, like how many hours per week?
So my plan was to keep them all to 4 to 5 minutes, which means they are, in fact, each just slightly over an hour.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's for the teaching. Mm-hmm. And then how long for the dialogue?
Right. Yeah, so the videos are each, and then so the dialogue will be as you can engage. Hopefully you would, it's better to say, try to, if you're the one who's actually on call that week, you know, to have your, given your response, you'll do that and then try to interact a couple times afterwards. So, you know, three posts maybe that week. If you're not on call, try to have two posts at least. So you give at least one interaction to each person who's prepared their remarks.
Okay. And the teachings, mm-hmm. the dialogue, all that material, is that going to stay on the site that can be accessed at any time?
Yeah, it will still be behind, you know, you'll have to be able to log in to get access
yeah.
to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they'll stay up there and you'll continue to have access to that.
Okay. Yeah. Because and this may be just me, and if it's just me, which is all good. But I appreciate, you know, when you outlined the 10 weeks, the mm-hmm. topics you're hoping to tackle, I really appreciate that. I think you're tackling some great things. Mm-hmm. I also appreciate the value, you know, that you highlighted that we want to do this in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that seems like a heck of a lot of great material to cover in 10 weeks.
Yep,
and
it's ambitious. No question about that.
Exactly, and for me personally, I don't feel that I can personally engage it in a really good way if I'm constrained mm-hmm. to 10 weeks.
Yeah, so it's not, now, to be clear, so the 10 weeks is what we're going to do. If you haven't been able to do everything in 10 weeks, it's not like, and then you're done and I'm going to cut off access, right? You'll be able to continue to log in and get access to it afterwards, because it is the case. There's going to be so much to deal with. In part, it's because, you know, in Vineyard, we haven't had a culture where we make everybody go to seminary first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a little bit of, we have to now cover some ground that we can't just assume everybody's on the same page already or has the big enough store of knowledge there. Some of us do, mm-hmm. and some of us don't. Some of us are spotty, right? And so we have to work through all of that. So we have an ambitious thing here, but yeah, so we're going to still be able to continue to engage with it afterwards. So it's not like at, in mid-December, you're cut off and now you can't get to the stuff anymore.
Because I would I do think this needs to be an interactive, thing, and I want to be able to contribute in a fruitful way, but like if I, the other resources and the reading and the, I don't think I'm going to be able to stay on top of it.
Right. So I don't expect, when I give the further reading, the reason I call it further reading is a, quick way of trying to indicate, this is the optional extra for later on. Okay. So I don't expect you to have to do all that further reading beforehand in order to interact. I mean, if you do, well, great. But everyone in here is a pastor or ministry leader, so your lives are busy, right? Mm-hmm. So minimally, the video, if you can read something else, great. And interact with those reflection questions and share, and then engage in the dialogue to share stories and interact, right?
Thanks, John.
Okay. Yes.
I was just going to say, I think the way that I'm speaking on behalf of you, but I'm not trying to. One of the things is, the idea is that there is a basic thing that we're sharing. We're sharing the video, we're sharing a reflection question, and then there's all these other resources that are there so that you can go deeper long term. And so I think that's kind of, I mean, you may have already said that, but I feel like that's kind of the heart of how this works, so.
Yeah, exactly. Any other questions or concerns? Okay. All right, so can we do this small group thing just for a few moments? Yes, Jamie.
What are the questions about the process? So is it, the question we're answering is, what are our questions about the process we're about to enter into, rather than what are our questions about gender and human sexuality?
No, the question is about the latter.
The latter, okay.
Yeah, so what is it that you're actually hoping to get out of this? You basically, what these are about. What are you hoping to get out of this? Okay.
Because I thought we were going into small groups to talk about our concerns about the process. So then my question about this bigger process is that I had a recent experience in the last couple of months, not in a Vineyard context, where I was in a live group discussion where it was introduced as, hey, everybody, we're all going to talk about this topic. This is a safe space. Everybody can talk about what they want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And so I'm totally one of those people that's like, I absolutely believe whatever you just said. So I think it's a safe space, and I launched right in and then found myself in the middle of a debate with the moderator, and it was horrifying to the point where it was being recorded. I had to ask the mic to be turned off. Like, it was really traumatic.
Yeah.
So my concern is, we have these wonderful goals and ideas about how we're not going to debate with each other, but this is such emotional content.
Yep.
I feel concerned that as we get into the forums, especially if we don't know each other, how do we gently be able to say, I think for each of us, we each have different comfort levels around what's a conversation that's an uncomfortable conversation of debate, whereas, I mean, I have a buddy for whom that's a good time. Like, he just loves that. It's a good debate. It's a great, healthy debate, whereas I might be almost in a fetal position by the time it's done.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, how do we self-moderate or group moderate what is a debate and what's not?
Yeah, so part of the reason we're doing these small groups and using a forum structure as well, I mean, gave some of the basic reasons, but also because it actually helps to facilitate that better, far better than using a big, okay, we're making a safe space with, 50 people in the room. That can't be a safe space, right? Moreover, some of the tools that are just built into the well-developed forum system like we're using is that, so the facilitator won't just, encourage things, but they'll also have moderating powers. So that they can actually, they will be given both the authority and tools to be able to interact. So if someone's interacting inappropriately, they have the ability to be able to intervene, both personally dialogue and necessarily, okay, we're just going to hide that post a little bit until you can revise it to be not destructive to your brothers and sisters, right? So that kind of a thing, okay? Yes, Dawn.
So I'm just doing the math on the number of leaders and pastors who might potentially be in these groups, and I'm thinking about 5 moderators, and I'm thinking those groups are going to be quite large, at least 20 people.
Well, we're only going to let them be the size of 8 to 12, and then we just make another group.
Okay.
Because it's online, we can organize people however we want. So we're choosing 8 as our target because that's a nice size for a good interaction.
Yeah, because I think smaller is going to be better. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're wading absolutely through people's answers and thoughts.
Yeah, we're not going to have 20 people in a group. No. We can just small groups. Yes. Barry.
So just trying to understand within that group structure,
mm-hmm.
and we're in that dialogue with those 8 people.
Mm-hmm.
How then is it not just like we may have, if we have, let's say, 20 groups of 8 people, but I've never heard the input of somebody in another group,
mm-hmm.
that may have actually been something that would have helped me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can see then we're isolated into this. Whatever happens within the 8 sort mm-hmm. of becomes that, you know, group. Our dialogue
mm-hmm. yeah.
on this subject. And it's a broader dialogue than that. This is
yeah.
So that would be one
yeah.
question.
So, yeah, not everyone's going to be able to read everyone else's directly. However, so the facilitators, the moderators, as well as like Beth and I and so on, we'll be, of course, accessing all of them and interacting with all the groups, or at least, well, the facilitators will be interacting with their set of groups, and then, you know, I'll be interacting with everybody, right? And so the cross-pollination, well, you can't read them directly, but if there's something that's really helpful that came up in one conversation that I or Jamie or somebody recognizes would be helpful in this other conversation, we can bring that up and introduce that and say, you know, so here's something that came up in a different conversation that might be helpful here. So that'll be part, yeah. Yeah, we will. Yeah, we'll always make sure that we're respecting privacy, but we'll be sharing ideas, you know, helpful ideas and thoughts, as opposed to, you know, personal stories or anything directly like that, right? Does that help? So there are limitations. Mm-hmm. We can't do everything perfectly, but mm-hmm. so that's where we feel like is the best balance for this.
Just to say also that I think, as John describes, sort of the bigger pattern of what's happening with Vineyard Canada, this is only one piece of the yes. listening process. So mm-hmm. in terms of that broader listening process, that's also happening simultaneously in a different venue. Yeah. So mm-hmm. part of it is what the goals of this is. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's helpful, but.
Yeah, so there will be other venues, as Beth was saying, and other avenues that are gonna be used, different processes running parallel to this, that are gonna be used for the broader listening from different perspectives from, you know, all over the place by Vineyard Canada's national team to hear these different things so that we are well-informed and have really, no, truly actually listened well to the people as a whole before going off and trying to make decisions, right? So that'll be a separate thing that's geared especially around that listening process. So that's, yeah. Sure.
If you're going to moderate that mm-hmm. that interaction between the multiple groups,
mm-hmm.
I think what's really important is that there's a diversity within the moderation that isn't mm-hmm. going to deeply polarize different views again.
Yes.
So if you feel like, if one group starts feeling like, well, all of my posts get, you know, put aside because yeah. they're deemed to be not appropriate, or, you know, that's where you can get into the whole
yeah.
idea that, you know, this is mm-hmm. fixed, it's going one direction or whatever. Yeah. So mm-hmm. that's, I would just say we have to have trust
mm-hmm.
that it's a broad enough
yeah.
moderating
so
group.
So that's actually one, that kind of concern is actually part of how we've gone about who have we asked to help us do the moderating, is to make sure we have a diversity of views among our moderators, but also that, you know, not necessarily going too far to, you know, some people might consider an extreme view. We try to avoid too much of that because then it makes hard for people who lean strongly in a different direction or a very different kind of a view to interact well. So a diversity, but also within, you know, moderate range, shall we say, is one part of it. Yeah, so we've actually put it thought. But you have actually raised a good point there. If there's only one moderator per group, so maybe we'll even rethink about, maybe we can have moderators helping to cross-interact a little bit more. I can make that happen. That's actually a really good point. Thank you, Barry. Okay. All right, one more back there. Yes.
Just one question about mm-hmm. what you mentioned earlier on, and I don't mean to jump the gun, but you said as this learning process or this listening process continues, the national team will convene in January of 2020 to decide on a certain direction.
Yeah.
Can you want to unpack that for us, please?
Super short answer. I mean, so do we continue with what was decided in our 2014 letter? Do we want to do something different? Do we modify it? Do we do something completely different? Do we realize that, well, never mind that, but there's so much more that we probably need to do, or whatever that's going to look like. But trying to give some resolution, because the 2014 letter says, so here's where we're at for now, so we can have a good process. Well, that implies a promise that we will actually do something further and finally reach some further decisions and conclusions later on. So this is the actually getting there. So I can't tell you exactly what shape that will take, because we literally haven't done it yet, right? But yeah. Okay, so it's already after 12. When were we supposed to end? Does anyone remember? 12:30. Okay. All right. Do you guys still want to do the small group reflection a little bit? Yeah? Okay. Let's do it. Unfortunately, because time is getting on, why don't we say, I was going to give it like 10 minutes. Maybe let's give it like 5 minutes? 10 minutes? Yeah, we got to do 10 minutes. Yeah, four people. We can't do that. Okay, let's do 10 minutes. We'll still do 10 minutes, and I'll just do what I can after that. Okay? So, 10 minutes. We've just been talking about our questions, our concerns, and our hopes, right? Now, concerns, what are our concerns? Is part of it is, and I said, well, frankly, all of us are kind of nervous going into this. What are our fears as part of that, right? And what are our hopes is what we're looking forward to, right? But I really, this is such a difficult, fraught set of questions and issues, I want to focus especially on one thing. It's already come up more than once, but I want to focus on it again. There is no reason to fear in this process, okay? What do I mean by that? We will not stop the kingdom of God if we get this wrong, okay? It's in moments like these, it's very good to remind ourselves of the beating heart of the gospel of grace, okay? God's love and acceptance of us, his presence with us, his calling to participate in his redemptive work of creation, his gift of the Spirit in our lives, don't depend on us getting things right, but on his free and unmerited gift, right? That's true at the beginning of our Christian lives, and it's true at every step along the way thereafter. Good theology. Now, I'm a theologian. Remember, I'm a theologian. This is what I do, right? Good theology is not a prerequisite for God's favor, nor is it sufficient holiness necessary to merit God's grace. Okay? Both do matter, of course, but not as preconditions for God's favor or the Spirit's willingness to work in and through us. Okay. We won't stop the kingdom of God from coming by getting this wrong. We don't have that power. We can't cause God to forsake us by making mistakes here. We don't have that power either. We stumble and bumble and screw stuff up all the time. And he is determined to use us anyway. Of course, we want to get this as right as we can, because we want to do the best we can to contribute to his kingdom building work, right? But we have nothing to fear. If we get something wrong here, and the odds are good that we will mess up at least some of it, okay? No matter what we do here, it's going to be partially wrong. The loving Spirit of God who abides with us always will guide us, correct us, and lead us into all truth. And will, moreover, redeem and bring good out of anything that we mess up along the way. We most definitely, I'll skip ahead. So what I want to say then is this. So I want to say, instead of any fear of judgment against us, let our motivation in all this be desire to participate to the best of our abilities in the advancing of Jesus' kingdom over all the earth. Make that your framework for engaging in this, okay? Because we can't get, even if we get it wrong, we can't, there's no fear. There's no, it won't be cut off, okay? We want to do it right because we want to see goodness come and be part of it, not because we're afraid that he will stop using us for goodness if we get it wrong. Okay? All right. So, now my plan for the rest of the thing was to talk a bit about, basics, that common ground that we start from. I'm going to skip over a big chunk of it because most of what I was going to do was give us a super short review just to make sure that we all were on the same page about the very basis of our theology of the kingdom of God, that already not yet thing. Most of us, it was going to be a reminder because most of us should be pretty familiar with it. I mean, if you're in this room, you probably at least have some good idea of what's going on with it. I was just going to go over quickly to give us, make sure we're all, in fact, on the same page. I'm going to skip ahead over a bit of it because, frankly, Matt did a good job talking about stuff already today, so I don't need to. All right? So I'll just, finish off with, where is it? This one here. All right. Just so I can get my last little diagram up here. Just to make sure everybody recognizes something like this, right? That Jesus' first coming began the age to come, but his second coming is what will end the old age, and we live in the overlap. That's familiar concepts for everybody, right? Oh, shoot. Well, whatever. That's familiar, right? I can take that as given? All right. So I won't spend any more time on that one. What I want to do is then talk about what that means for us as Vineyard and how we, in fact, engage in our theology and our practice, because this is helping to set our trajectory for all of this discussion to come, okay? So what does it mean, in other words, to live and think as kingdom people? Well, because the kingdom of God, and this already not yet understanding, right, is our theological cornerstone. I mean, every Christian tradition has its theological cornerstone, right? And this is ours. This is where we come back to again and again, right? It greatly affects our spirituality and our theology and how we do it. Fundamentally, in the Vineyard, we are oriented towards that future hope. That's what gives us our guidance. That's where we look to if we want to work through things well. And there's a good reason for that. As Matt was talking about, there's the whole trajectory. The end of the trajectory, though, that's where everything reaches God's goals, right? So we want to know, what is God's will? Look to the age to come. Look to the eschaton. That's if we want to say, what's God's will in this situation? Look at that and think about how it's going to apply to this. That's our basic method that we use for our spirituality and our theology, for our interpretation, for everything, right? So we're deeply shaped by that. And that's what we need to do, because that is where God's will is revealed. We're on the right track in taking that approach, okay? So that's going to be the fundamental method that's going to be underlying everything that we do, trying to understand that, our future hope, that eschatological orientation, and how that then affects everything that we talk about along the way. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. So, it's like 3 minutes left, so I won't go into it anymore. And so what that means, when you boil down that, I talked about eschatological orientation and our method and everything else just a moment ago, when you bring it all down, here's our guiding question that I'm going to bring us back to again and again along the way as what shapes us and helps us. Does this, whatever the this is, does this help us draw closer to Jesus and see his kingdom enacted in our world? That's the question that I'm going to suggest to us along the way that we use to help us understand different issues, and it's this question I'm going to suggest to you guys again and again along the way, that in practical pastoral contexts that we use to help guide our way of interacting, that when we're trying to pastor this person who's dealing with some situation that there is no easy answer, this is the question we turn to again and again, okay? Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, so coming back to this is going to be driving us throughout all the discussion, okay? And so, and actually that was where I'm going to end up so that I can let you guys go and actually have lunch on time. Yes, Kurt.
John, did you put that last little groups of summaries
this?
Your talking points on there, will you put that on the website? Because that's a pretty good orientation.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yes, I will actually, yeah. Yeah, so we're recording this audio right now. At least I'm pretty sure we are, right? Yeah, we're supposed to be. Yes, we are. Good. Okay. So the audio will be up, and I will export this so that you get as a PDF. So instead of having a full video, but you guys can review it again, and others who weren't able to attend this event but are participating will be able to review this recording and the full set of slides and everything else to be able to go over it again in more detail afterwards.
I'm sure we'll need to be reminded of it as
a
process.
Yeah. So. And I just want to go back to one point again that came up with Wayne's very good question about there's a lot that's going on here. Yeah, there is. And let's be honest, guys, There's a lot going on here. It's going to be work. I do very much believe you're all up to it. And I encourage you to engage with that. Go into it knowing that, yeah, this is going to be demanding. There are going to be times when it's going to feel like, whoa, now I have to think about that too. Yes. But it's going to be really good. Okay? So, and there's grace along the way. And we don't have to get everything done. It's like you said, at the end of the 10 weeks, it's not like, and now we're done and you have to have come to your new understanding and now off you go. No, no, no. We continue to dialogue even afterwards. You can come back to the resources. There is no end to the process. Like I said, positions don't really exist. Well, it's not like when we get to the end of the 10 weeks in mid-December, now you've reached your position. Well, no, you're going to continue to grow after that. And you can come back to this and look at it again, and you can interact with more things in the future. So don't set a bar for yourself that it shouldn't be there. Don't think that you have to master everything by the end of 10 weeks. If some of this stuff feels like, I don't know quite what to do with that yet, okay, you don't know what to do with it yet. Just follow the Spirit, and He'll continue to work with you over the course of life. So, yes, please, dear.
Something that came up in some conversations I've had around the room. One of the things that I've heard John say about this before is that the intent of this is not that after this process you're going to think like a totally different thing than you started out, but you're going to understand why you think the way you're thinking and be able to have bridge relationships with people who might think differently. And so I just wanted to encourage that piece, because I think we talked a lot about like changing our minds, but I think it's important to also know that the goal is not you become a totally different, you think totally differently, and that's not what the talks are going to be. They're so that you can say, oh, okay, so I actually believe these five things because of these reasons, and now I understand that this person over here is also trying to be faithful, but believes these other five things that are different than what I do. But they have reasons for that. And now I can kind of understand that better and love them better. And so that's kind of the idea. So
yeah, that is definitely a significant part of all of that is, yeah, that mutual understanding. Yeah. So we are now 1 minute past the time when I'm supposed to let you go have your lunch. So I now officially release you to go eat your lunch. If people want to sit around and ask a few more questions, I'm willing to hang a little bit longer, but this is the optional, extracurricular bit at this point.